right now. 4th Street Bowling. I say that right, Senator?
4th Street Bowl.
Yep, 4th Street Bowl in Joplin, Missouri, in an office that a lot of folks throughout this state have came to for different reasons, with the only man in the history of the state that's ever served as Speaker of the House and President pro tem of the Senate, Senator Ron Richard. We're honored to be here.
Well, thanks for coming. I know it's a long drive. I'm sorry I couldn't make it to St. Louis, but every time you called, I was in the middle of either helping someone in campaign or fundraising. It just didn't work out.
Well, I think doing this interview about your life and your career, probably there's no better place to do it than right here, so we're honored to be here.
Well, with this office, the pictures of my brothers and my sister and my dad and mother, it's probably the right place to be.
Well, let's start off with grew up in Kansas, actually, right? Born in Kansas?
Born in Parsons, Kansas. My dad had a little Bowling Lanes after World War II that he bought from a guy. He got a call one day in the middle 50s from Falstaff Beer in St. Louis in Chicago. He was bowling, their team bowling was big then, promoting beer out of Chicago. Wanted my dad to join him. And some of the old timers had said to my dad, "You beat us out here when we're hustling and doing those things," because there was no tour. They would go to bowling tournaments, and my dad was a true hustler. And he said, "Why don't you just join the team?" So he packed up. I mean, my dad had a lot of guts. 5 kids, his wife, sold his little business, and went to Chicago for a couple hundred dollars a month with a bowling ball in his trunk, and that's how he made it. I mean, he's something.
Tell folks a little bit more about your dad. In this office, you can see the accomplishments of his career, but tell folks what he was like.
Well, he did whatever he could to make a living when he was young. He was in the World War II, of course, and he's always been in the bowling business, but he was really good at what he did, a businessman. But on the lanes, he was second to none. I mean, he competed with people who traveled worldwide. And did fairly well. He got tired of, in St. Louis, got tired of traveling, so he bought this place here, and we've expanded. My brothers joined, so I've had the privilege of working with my dad, mom, my brothers. It's been unique. And then I remember when I decided to start getting to politics, they all looked at me and said, "Well, what does it pay?" And I told them, "What do you do that for?" So that's kind of how he thinks. You know?
Tell folks about your mother.
Yeah, my mother was a real quiet influence. She was a banker, and she kept books for the corporation, and then she met an untimely death with cancer in 1988, and just when all of our business started really jitting, she left, and it's kind of a shame.
So looks like your schooling was not public school, right? You bounced around a little bit, but you ended up going to Catholic school.
I was
right?
In Catholic school, yeah. When you're in St. Louis, they all ask you what school you go to. Well, here you go. I went to St. William's grade school in Woodson Terrace when that whole neighborhood was mostly McDonnell Douglas people and manufacturing people. My dad it was just a little bit from Lambert Field, so he could catch an airplane and go where he had to go. And we went to school in O'Fallon, went to Assumption, and then from here we came down here to St. Mary's. But, yeah, we've been in private school. My mother is a devout Catholic, and she wasn't a Catholic all of her life. She married my dad, and she was not Catholic, but she joined him, but she was very fervent, and she demanded we go to private school, so that's what we did.
Tell us about your brothers and sisters.
I've got my sister. She married a guy I went to high school with, played basketball with, and they're out in Arizona. He worked for TWA, then worked for other companies. Before TWA fell on tough times, he's a CPA, and they retired to Arizona. My brother Davey, he just retired. He was in this business for a long time and then decided to make a career change and went in the big lumber, worked for lumber, selling lumber on the road and other products. And he retired this last year. He lives on a farm outside up my dad about 15 miles north here. Brother Randy runs our operation in Fort Smith. We have this bowling lanes here is 40 lanes. And Randy runs our 72-lane operation, Fort Smith, biggest bowling lanes in the South. Then Barry, he's out on the farm. He retired and then went to the farm. He runs a small operation, about 800 acres, but he does some farming and stuff.
So you're a Missouri Southern grad?
Missouri Southern, yes. 1960, 1979, then I went to Missouri State and got a master's in 1971.
Was that always something that was college just what you were going to do, or is that normal for your family? Or
no, I was the first one to go to college, my whole family, both sides. We just, you know, didn't do that. And I had a neighbor that turned out to be a doctor, and I was flounder around. He said, you just need to get to school and keep going. So my next door neighbor was a pretty good influence. His name was Bill Cook, orthodontist here in town. He retired. So I went to college, but the Vietnam War was going on. So that's what you did if you know. So I graduated in 69, and I thought I was going to go to law school. I thought I was going to be an F. Lee Bailey or was going to really do something on the bench. And so I went and started my master's in October the 6th, 1969. I got drafted, and I went to my physical, Kansas City. All my buddies, two buses from down here, went up, and we got in three lines at the end. It's at Union Station in Kansas City when everybody went to the basement, and this ensign was sent everybody get in three lines, and I was in the back, just walked in. I said, you last one there, dress it up. So I got over there and went over this line here. And the guys, ensign said, you guys are in the Army. You're going to be leaving 10 minutes. You guys are in the Army. You're going to be leaving 10 minutes. You guys are in the Marines. I was in the Marines line. You're going to be going to Camp Pendleton in a week or two. We'll call you. I never got the call. I'm still waiting on the call. I'd have went. I didn't care. I mean, I'd have went. I never got a call. I didn't fail because of the healthy thing. They just never called.
So those guys that were in those first two lines in 1969, they probably saw pretty heavy fighting, right?
Yeah, they went to Vietnam and Germany and all over the place, yeah. Some of them didn't come back.
So did you ever, as you've been in government, ever think to ask why they didn't call?
Every time I see a Marine, I said I was one for about 20 minutes. That's about it.
So you go to Missouri State for the Masters?
I did, recent American history.
Just like your friend said, just keep going to school?
Yeah, I still thought I was going to go to law school, and then I just didn't do it. I mean, I was kind of losing track of what I wanted to do, and I came back and joined my parents, and I just progressed then. And I always wanted to do something on my own, but I never really did it. So I got in politics after a fashion.
Before then, you got into business.
Well, here with my parents.
Yeah. Yeah. So you had a history degree, which I'm sure was valuable in politics.
Yeah, I had no bearing on what I was doing around here, but yeah. It was, history was interesting, and I tried accounting and economics. It just didn't do something for me. I wish I'd have tried harder. I'd have probably been pretty good at that. But, I mean, our business has been pretty good over, this building you're in, 60 years we've been in business.
So this is just a family business, right?
It is.
Kind of came up in it?
It is, yeah, yeah. And we've all done everything. I can do anything in this, and all my brothers and sisters, we can do anything, any job.
So tell, how'd you meet your wife?
Well, my first wife, Dana, was a high school sweetheart. We were married about 20 years, had a daughter, Carolee, and things just didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And then I was single. I took my daughter, and I was a single dad and raised her and finished her up in high school and sent her to University of Missouri, and I met Patty, my wife now, for almost 25 years. It'll be 25 years next year, and we were married in 1994, and actually we just renewed our vows with a priest last October.
Oh, congratulations.
Well, we have a little Irish priest that really a neat guy down here, Father Monahan, and my wife has always, we were married in Branson at that church of the glass church down there. I don't remember what it's called. And she always felt kind of funny because she's Catholic too. So I got her married in the church. Now she feels
you got it legit. She's, yeah.
I got her legal.
Paperwork
now.
Right.
She's legal. Yeah.
Well, tell us about her. What does she like to do? How does she keep you in line with you driving all over Hell's Half Acre in politics?
She's pretty good about understanding, but. I mean, just like
that's a lot to understand.
She didn't know anything about politics. Still not sure she does, but you know, when I put her in front of a crowd, I mean, she was instrumental in passing legislation a couple of years ago on breast cancer awareness, mm-hmm. on getting that X-ray that lets women know, it's a second X-ray, know when they have a tissue issue. She got, and I told her, okay, you need to pass this. and Dan Brown's wife too. Mm-hmm. I said, you guys need to go to hearings. It will introduce the bill, and you guys need to work it. They did it, passed unanimously in the House and Senate. I mean, that's kind of, she was a banker, retired, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago, and she's been with me. She'll give a talk once in a while, but she kind of stands back. She don't really want to be in the front, but she's the best looking thing I've ever seen. You know.
She from Joplin? Where's she from?
She is from Joplin. Her dad moved down here from Omaha. Worked for a company that made power steering units for automotive industry, and it's called Vickers. And then he was a CPA. All Patty's family was CPAs and accountants, and from Omaha. Some of them worked for the railroad up there, UP.
So about the time you were getting married to her, you're getting into politics locally.
I was mayor of Joplin. Yeah. I started down here in the middle 80s. A friend of mine put me on the zoning board. And I just didn't like the way things were going.
I'm sure a lot of Democrats would like to go talk him out of that back in time.
Yeah, they probably want to slap him, don't they? And with Mac was in the bar in here playing shuffleboard. Don Gates was his name. He come by. Said, you want to be on the zoning board? You're always complaining about things aren't right around here and business aren't business friendly. And, you know, I think it's time you just... I said, fine. So I was on the zoning board for 3 years. Then I went to chairman of the zoning board. Then from there, I ran for city council. And then I ran for mayor. Then after I was mayor... and still, I was pro-business, you know, create jobs, get training before job training was cool, and create a reason to live in this community, a reason to retire, raise your kids, you know. I am old-fashioned. You know, I like my community. I like riding a bike in the community and, you know, and just not having neighbors wave at you. That's kind of, maybe I'm folksy, but that's just the way I am. And then I ran. I thought I was unbeatable. I thought I could beat anybody. So I ran against Marvin Singleton, outraised him, outworked him, lost for 6,000 votes. So
now for state rep, state senate.
State senate. Yeah. I thought I could just make the leap.
So you're involved in local politics. The person people think about that's a little older than me would be Dick Webster. Now it may be you, but what was your interactions with Senator Webster?
Well, Dick Webster and I were friends, but he was involved in a lot of stuff statewide. And I knew him. I knew both his sons. I had a pretty good relationship with the whole Webster family, but he wasn't really involved in anything I was running politics until I... got elected in Jeff City, and then he was passed on by then. But I ran against Marvin Singleton, lost, and then I had a friend of mine said, you know what? What you ought to do, he's having a fundraiser out the day after election, you ought to go by and write him a check. So I did. I walked in there, said, you won fair and square, here's $500. Everybody in that room said, when he's term limited, you're the guy. That's where I run my race right there. And since then, I was elected in 2002, and every 2 years, I ran in 2002, 4, 6, 8. I was elected Speaker of the House against the St. Louis guy, Alan, yep. Who's one of my better friends, Alan Eisen. And then I appointed him budget chair the same day. And then I ran for the Senate. Never had any opposition since then.
So you run for that and don't come short. Tell us about local government. It's just a different animal, isn't it? It's not partisan. It's what was being mayor like?
It was, what was mayor of Joplin been like? Well, I was, you know, I was kind of like Jesse. I'm a little outspoken sometimes, but I press the attack whenever I can because I think we need to move in a direction sooner rather than later. And when I was mayor, I was able to try to convince the other members that we need to go a certain direction. Some days you won, some days you didn't win. You know, in a 9-person, it takes 5. You can. Uh-huh. So getting 5 sometimes. But I was with a couple of buddies that on there too that served and had the same vision. I mean, we won most of the time. And I had a pretty good staff at City Hall. We had a good city manager. But I like pressing the attack. I mean, I was, you know, 50-some years old. when I started. When I went to Jeff City, I was 55. I mean, people were leaving, retired, going home, and I was just starting. And people, guys, when I was elected, I sat next to Jay Wasson, who's a mayor of Nixon. And this guy, I mean, what a character he is. I'll tell you 100 stories about him, and we've been friends ever since. And he was older, not as old as I am. Sometimes I lay awake at night. If I'd have started a little bit earlier, things would have fell through, what would have happened? But, you know, sometimes it just works that when a door opens, you walk through it or you don't. And people ask me about running for office.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if you have an opportunity, you ought to try it, because you can sit on your porch with a rocking chair and say, boy, I wish I'd have tried that, or I tried it and it didn't work. I'd rather be one of the guys that tried. And
old Teddy Roosevelt quote about the man in the arena seems to apply a little bit there.
Yeah, Dan Meehan takes credit for that when he gives the award out.
So when you go to run for state rep, you had already made a friend, and you thought, obviously being mayor, you had, looks like a little token opposition, but not much, right? It was 75-25 something?
That wasn't much. It didn't take too much to win that race. And, I came in, I was elected with a big first Republican class in 50 years in the House with Catherine Hanaway as Speaker. Yeah. By the way, that may be the greatest Speaker ever lived.
Before we get into that, tell us folks about your kids, where they are and what they do.
Oh, I've got my daughter, Carolee.
Yeah. Where's she at?
She's in Southern California. Met her husband at University of Missouri. He's from St. Louis, Rick Siebert. He's a developer, develops low-income housing in St. Louis. Have three grandkids. They were just here July the 4th. Then Patty has a son, Chad, who's an architect. And he has two little girls. He went to University of Arkansas. So I had the pleasure of getting married and helping with two kids at universities. That's painful. We haven't had two kids in university at the same time, but we made it.
I have two kids. I'm hoping community college for them.
Well, you know what? You'll do what you have to do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of opportunities. That Rolodex that these kids find when they go to university lasts them a lifetime. So
let's talk a little bit about stylistic before we get into some of the events as speaker. Your friends call it candid and direct. I guess detractors might call it gruff. You have to notice you're far more direct or gruff than most of your contemporaries. Why do you think that is?
Well, I didn't really care if I was ever got elected again. I thought.
Yeah, you never had another opponent.
No, but I thought at when I started 55 years old, I thought people ought to understand exactly what's on somebody's mind, because you always get the Washington, D.C. or the Jeff City two-step from a lot of people. And I had made up my mind I wasn't going to do that. I was going to speak exactly what's on my mind. I thought I knew what people liked, what they didn't like, and I was going to try to push decisions, the same thing I did down here, job creation, economic development, make our community better, get a partnership, win every day, and make the place better. When Rod Jetton made me chair of economic development, I thought I'd die and went to heaven. I wouldn't care if I ever did anything else. Back then, we've done every economic development bill. All the things that's going on now, we started back then.
Some of the stuff you've got, a resume of accomplishments that are at the heart of all the big Republican stuff that's happened. But there's an element, besides being gruff, sometimes I think it appears to me, just watching your career, that sometimes you don't mind if people underestimate you a little bit. Maybe you help them to that conclusion.
Well, maybe I'm not very smart. Maybe I am. I don't know. I'll let people figure that out themselves. I don't, you know, when Todd Richardson was going through what he had to go through in the House in the last few months, and I was trying, because I knew his dad.
Yeah.
His dad's a great guy. His dad could have been Speaker too, but just didn't get the majority in time. And Todd was losing weight, and, you know, I think his wife read one of my comments or something, or one of your posts or something on the Times. Got him checked into the hospital. I mean, he was losing weight, smoking. He smokes anyway, but he was really, I mean, he looked like a chimney. I mean, he was having, it was all the time, 24 hours a day. So I was trying to go over to help him, if I can, decision-making process. And I made the comment one time, you know, I hate to be gruff all the time, but I read the quote somewhere. I was reading something late one night, I'm the gruff guardian angel of the House and Senate. It kind of stuck, but you know, I like to protect tradition. It's
so you own gruff even?
Yeah.
Do you think it helps you be effective though?
Some people like it, some people don't.
Do you think sometimes being gruff lets some folks underestimate you? Maybe the flowery words, you couldn't get as much done if they didn't.
Oh, I could use it. I can use the flowery words and the rhetoric and debate if called upon. I mean, maybe. You know, I never really thought too much about that.
You ever had a time where you wish you weren't so direct or candid with somebody? You had your marble back and you were... You were being maybe too direct, and it didn't fit the situation.
Yeah, probably. I mean, there's that one guy that challenged my integrity one time, and I just blew off. I don't like my integrity. I mean, there's one thing that I do. I am what I am. I'll speak the truth. I treat Democrats, Republicans the same. Most legislation I've passed has been bipartisan by big numbers, and one character challenged me, and probably. A better choice of words would have been, instead of blowing off.
So we're clear also, you're talking about when you give the comment that this person could kiss your ass, when you question your integrity.
Yeah, yeah. And probably the better comment would have been an old Persian quote, a shallow brook babbles the loudest. That's what I should have said.
Has Representative Ellinger ever met with you?
I don't know if I wouldn't know if he walked in here.
That's what surprised me about it, is I would think you'd need a little bit better handle on somebody before you could make that allegation.
Yeah, I mean, I've done a lot of things, but if you check...
Do you think you probably helped him, though?
Well, I don't know. Don't care.
I mean, amongst Democrats, people were talking about him, and they would never have been done that if you hadn't...
Oh, well, I don't know. I don't know. I'll tell you, some of my better... I got a friend of mine. You know Fred Cracky? He used to be a state rep in South County?
Yeah, on
the Hill?
Yeah.
He was running against his wife. Fred and I are very close, and we were in my committee, and John Brenton, the old lobbyist, had a new client called Express Scripts, and he had an amendment, and he was waving it written on a napkin. I wish I'd have saved that napkin. And I said, Fred, go chair my committee. Never been done on Republicans or the Democrats, some of the I said, Fred, go chair my committee, and stall a little bit. I could go see what we can do on this and see if we can make an amendment on this company who's wanting to come to St. Louis. So he did, and then all the committee, what are you doing? I said, well, Fred knows more about economic development. All you guys put together, so just let it go ahead. So he did. Went out and got that amendment, and that amendment is what started Express Scripts coming to St. Louis that day.
Wow.
With Fred chairing that, we got that amendment from John Brenton.
So you've always been, Dan Meehan was talking to him, he said Ron Richard was always one that was going to be in charge if he's going to be doing it. You've never had the ability to be the opposition. I mean, there's a little bit of fun in being the person that can just oppose stuff. You've never been in that spot. Do you ever look back and maybe regret you've been out front on everything for so long?
Been regret that I was out in front?
Yeah.
No, the majority's great. Don't ever lose majority. That's why I want to win every day. That's why I work so hard. I mean, I've raised millions of dollars for candidates. I've owned my fifth car. The last two have been Kehoe cars, which has his name all over. I must be helping him again or something. But I was telling John Lamping one day when he was the 4 years he served in the Senate, and we were talking, and he said, what is your goal? I said, win every day. We win. I win every day. Where are the Republicans going to win every day?
Well, let's talk about how that winning started in our next segment. We'll talk about you being Speaker of the House.
Yeah, sure.